Today, we'd like to see the title of Job's response to Bildad in the book of Job, chapter 9, verses 1 through 35. For online courses people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 2, truly I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? What did Job know it is so? What did Job know it is so in this context? Question 2, in verse 15, for though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. Why could not Job answer God? Why could not Job answer God? Question 3, last question, in verses 32 through 35, for he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together, nor is there any mediator between us, who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. What heart of Job can we see? What heart of Job can we see? First of all, we want to see a little brief background of the book of Job. Job was likely written in before Christ 2000 BC. So which means the oldest book. Job, God said, Job chapter 1, verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So God recognized Job, who was blameless and upright in the point of a man like him on the earth, which meaning at the standard of a human view. So Job was blameless and upright. Upright meaning right up to the Lord. So then after Job lost his possessions and children because of Satan was allowed by God to tempt the Job. That's why Job lost his possessions, sheep, camels, houses, and finally children. Then Job chapter 1 verses 21 and 22, and Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed he be the name of the Lord. In all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So after he lost his possessions and children, he never murmuring, complained against God. After God allowed Satan to touch his bone and his flesh, but spare his life. Job chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils, painful infections, from the sole of his foot and to the crown of his head. So entire body of Job was so painfully infected. And he took for himself a pot sherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. That time, vipers curse and Job's face is shown in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Then his wife said to Job, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said to his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept the good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this Job did not sin with his lips. But in Job chapter 3, Job began to complain and murmur. Job chapter 3 verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job chapter 3 verse 11. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Then Job's three friends show up. The first one, Eliphaz. Second, Bildad. Bildad is chapter 8. Zophar visited and gave comments about all sufferings caused by sins. All sufferings caused by sins. In light of the first is Eliphaz, Job chapter 4, verse 7. Eliphaz said, remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Rhetorical question. Innocent would not be perished. Or where were the upright ever cut off? So the upright man were not, killed without reason. Also, Bildad, Job chapter 8, verse 20, Bildad comment, behold, look, God will not cast away the blameless, or will not cast away the innocent, nor will he uphold the evildoers. So this is implying Job might have a hidden sin. That's why Job presents painful impaction, illness, caused by Job's known sin. Then Zophar, the third friend, Job chapter 11, verse 11, for God knows deceitful man, God sees the wickedness also. Will God not then consider it? So God knows your hidden sin. Later, God rebukes them. Later, God rebukes all of them in Job chapter 42, verse 7. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, which meaning your comments to Job was wrong, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. The first friend Elihu comments, although we don't know what cause of sufferings, the sufferings are a way to purify or sanctify us. The first friend comment is likely right. While God gave sufferings to Job, God has a purpose to admonish Job's heart to contend he was righteous, to be humble and trust fully in God. In Job chapter 6, verse 29 and 30, ye law, let there be no injustice. Yes, consider my righteousness still stands. Is there injustice on my tongue? Cannot my taste discern the unsavory? So basically, Job himself, I am righteous here. Yield now, let there be no injustice. Yes, concede, my righteousness still stands. But later, Job repented in Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. I have heard of you, of God, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So Job books' main theme, whatever circumstances you should trust in the Lord. So although we do not understand God's purpose during the process over sufferings. So, you know, that is a basic theme. So chapter 9, verse 1, then Job answered and said, Bildad's comment in Job in chapter 8, in verse 20, behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoer. Same as the other friends, sufferings caused by sin. So truly, I know it is so. So here, I know it is so, meaning I know Bildad's comment, as the same as other two friends in comment, all sufferings caused by sins. But how can a man be righteous before God? Here, God's righteousness, at God's standard, no human being can be righteous equal to God's righteousness. That is, how can a man be righteous before God? That is originally said, Eliphaz, the first friend in comment, the Job chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, Eliphaz, first point out, then a spirit, Eliphaz had a night vision. Then is he explains night visions to Job. Chapter 4, verse 15 through 17. Then a spirit passed before my face, Eliphaz's face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, can a mortal be more righteous than God? So human beings are mortal. Someday, we'll die unless Jesus catch up in heaven at the second coming again. So can a man be more pure than his make? So no man can be more pure than his creator, who is a God. So originally Eliphaz said the God is righteousness is superior to any human, so-called righteousness. So all human beings are not righteous compared to God. If one wishes to contend with him, argue with him, with God, he could not answer him one time out of 1,000. Why? Because human alleged righteousness is not enough to God's righteousness. So God asked, my righteousness to me, I couldn't answer even one over 1,000 question. God is wise in heart, mighty in strength. So now, talking about God's sovereignty, God, absolute sovereignty, who has hardened himself against him and prospered. Nobody, has hardened himself against God, so cannot, be, prospered. He removes the mountains and they do not know. Here, like a description of an earthquake, God did removes the mountains and they do not know, human beings do not know. When he overturns them in his anger, so God overturns the mountains in his anger. God shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. So this is a description of earthquake controlled by God. So mountains by themselves do not understand. He commands the sun that it does not rise. He shields off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens, so indicating creation, and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the bear Orion and the Pleiades, that is a constellations of stars. So God made a universe, including stars, the sea, and the chambers of the south. He does a great thing past finding out. God, you know, does a great thing, pathfinder out, which meaning human being, you know, cannot, you know, find out, you know, how God, you know, does a great thing, passed away, finding out. Yes, wonders without number. Verse 11, if God goes by me, I do not see him. So we do not see, you know, God's work. You know, we are a creature, we are finite creature, but God is an infinite, you know, God. I do not see. If he moves past, I do not perceive him, or I do not understand him. That is the similar, you know, to Eliphaz, you know, comment. We already read in, you know, Job chapter 4, you know, verse 15 through 17. Here, 16. The Eliphaz said, I could not discern its appearance. So I could not understand, you know, the reason why God, you know, allows me the present painful, you know, infection, illness, you know, some kind of, like, I do not perceive him. If, verse 12, God takes away, who can hinder him? So we, you know, could not hide anything. Who can say to him, what are you doing? God will not with you. Here, basically, God, you know, has the sovereignty. You know, the, also, disciple Paul, you know, talk about Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. Disciple Paul, you know, explained, you know, potter and the clay. Potter like a creator, you know, clay like a creature. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him, who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have a power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? So basically, absolute, you know, sovereignty over, you know, absolute, you know, almighty of God, you know, whatever God please, God, you know, can create creatures. So who can say to him, what are you doing? God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. God, you know, destroy the arrogance. Verse 14, how then can I answer him, answer God, and choose my words to reason with him? So here, choose my words to reason with him. So which meaning the human being, we cannot understand often, you know, what's going on. Verse 15, for although I were righteous, here, although I were righteous, were righteous meaning hypothetical, you know, question. Not I was righteous, I were righteous. Like that, if I were a bird, I could fly. So I am not a bird, you know, but I were. But right here, you know, the Job's heart is sort of, you know, humble compared to, you know, chapters, the previous, you know, chapter, I think the 6, you know, he said, you know, I am, you know, righteous, you know, some, you know, chapter 6, verse 29, he said, my righteousness still stands. You know, he alleges, you know, he is righteous, but here he said, you know, this humble, so, and choose my words to reason with him. Verse 15, for although I were righteous, so hypothetical, I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. Verse 15, really, Job's heart at this moment, he was humble, so he could not, you know, content with God, you know, just he asked God, you know, mercy. Like, you know, Jesus said, Luke chapter 18, verse 11 through 14, the tax collector in a prayer, you know, like that, you know, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Then Jesus, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. The other is a Pharisee. Pharisee pray, you know, like that, God, I thank you that I am not like other man, extortionary, unjust, adulterous, or even as a tax collector. Like compared to other people, relative, I am superior to them. That is really, you know, sort of a pride, sort of an arrogance. You know, God resists the proud, the arrogant. That's God's nature. So, but the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Like that, I would beg mercy of my judge, God. So here, verse 15, we can see Job's, you know, humble heart and repentable heart right here. Verse 16, if I called and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. Why? Because he is still a painful boils on his body. So that's why I do not believe that he was listening to my voice. For he curses me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. So the Job's the illness is severe, also very painful. He will not allow me to catch my breath, so which means the Job is hard to breathe, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a matter of strength, indeed he is strong. And if of justice, who will appoint my day in court? Although I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Although I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. So basically, he criticizes by himself. Verse 21, I am blameless or I am innocent, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say, he destroyed. God destroys the blameless and the wicked. This one looks like, you know, Jesus said, Jesus give a range to the righteous people as well as the unrighteous in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Like that, God destroyed the blameless, the innocent, and the wicked. So any human being will die, you know, physically. Someday, if the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent, because anyway, the innocent people will die, you know, also wicked people will die. So this one is he laughs at the plight of the innocent. Verse 24, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked, he covers the face of its judges. So judicial system is crooked up, you know, like to the United States, you know, everywhere, almost everywhere. If it is not he, who else could it be? Now my days are shorter than a runner. So the lifespan of a Job is close to physical death. Shorter than a runner, they flee away, they see no good, they pass by like swift ships, like an eagle sweeping on its prey. So Job is described in form of a poetry. So his life is close to, you know, death, caused by present painful, you know, broils, you know, illness. Verse 27, if I say I will forget my complaint, here, my complaints, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile, because the better die, you know, than the present life, you know, with suffering. I am afraid of all my sufferings. So he has afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. So because I have still suffering. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit, which means God did not allow Job to recover from present painful illness. And my own clothes will abhor me. So own clothes might have bothered in Job's the painfulness. Verse 32, for he is not a man as I am man. And God is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, so that I may answer God. And that we should go to court together. Verse 33, nor is there any mediator between us, between man and God. So this is in New Testament, actually the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a mediator between, you know, man and God. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So the Lord Jesus Christ came into the earth. Also John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, incarnation. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. So perfect mediate between man and God. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Last time, you know, God gave me opportunity to be witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and before Mormon lady. You know, while I was waiting for engine oil change in mechanic body shop, so I had an opportunity to Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect mediator. He is 100% God. He is 100% man. So I explained that. Also, the 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ, which we have heard. So John apostle heard over Jesus, which we have seen with our eyes. You know, John apostle, was a disciple, one of the 12 disciples, he saw, you know, Jesus, which we have looked upon. Yeah, John, the apostle, looked upon Jesus. And our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. So Jesus' life was manifested, which is meaning for, you know, God's work. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you meaning the Christians, brothers and sisters, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So Jesus Christ is a perfect mediator between man and God. But at that time, 2000 before Christ, there was no mediator yet. So here Job indicated the mediate necessity. Who may lay his hands on us both? Verse 34, let him take his rod away from me. So let God take his rod away. Rod, you know, indicating, implying the Job's presence, you know, painful, illness from me. And do not let dread of him terrify me. So right now, the Job, you know, was so afraid and terrified. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Which meaning, Job still so afraid, you know, of God, because Job has, you know, present painful, you know, sufferings. So let's see, you know, each question in verse 2. Truly, I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? What did Job know it is so? That means Bildad's comments is the same as the previous two friends. All sufferings caused by sin. Then question 2, in verse 15. For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. Why could not Job answer God? Because man's alleged righteousness is not enough to God's righteousness. That's why. That's why all men are sinners, according to God's standards of righteousness. Yeah, last question, question 3. In verses 32 through 35, For he is not a man, as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us, who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak, and not fear God. But it is not so with me. What heart of Job can we see? Job presented his case to God humbly. He presented his case to God, you know, humbly. Let's just sing song all together. The last song, Blue Book, page 2, number 3.